ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Verse number 40. Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase,
Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase,
Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Arthalingaya Nabhase,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namondar Bahiratmane,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Namapunyaya Lokaya,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase,
Amushmai Bhuri Vachase.
Word to a translation. Artha,
artha,
meaning.
Lingaya,
lingaya,
revealing.
Nabhase,
nabhase,
onto the sky,
onto the sky.
Namaha,
namaha,
offering obeisances,
offering obeisances.
Antaha,
antaha,
within,
within.
Bahihi,
bahihi,
and without,
and without.
Atmane,
atmane,
unto the self,
unto the self.
Namaha,
namaha,
offering obeisances,
offering obeisances.
Punyaya,
punyaya,
pious activities,
pious activities.
Lokaya,
lokaya,
for creation,
for creation.
Amushmai,
amushmai,
beyond birth,
beyond birth.
Bhuri Vachase,
Bhuri Vachase,
the supreme effulgence,
the supreme effulgence.
Translation: my dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of all pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. I'll read one more time. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. So, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Vedic evidence is called Shabda Brahma. There are many things which are beyond the perception of our imperfect senses. Yet, the authoritative evidence of sound vibration is perfect. The Vedas are known as Shabda Brahma because evidence taken from the Vedas constitutes the ultimate understanding. This is because Shabda Brahma or the Vedas represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's an important point. This is because Shabda Brahma or the Vedas represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the real essence of Shabda Brahma is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By vibrating this transcendental sound, the meaning of everything, both material and spiritual, is revealed. Very important point. By vibrating this transcendental sound, which is Hare Krishna mantra, everything, both material and that which is beyond, that is both material and spiritual, are revealed simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. This Hare Krishna is no different from personality of Godhead. The meaning of everything is received through the air, through sound vibration. The vibration may be material or spiritual, but without sound vibration, no one can understand the meaning of anything. In the Vedas, it is said, Andar Bahirchata Sarvam Vyaya Narayana Titaha. Narayana is all pervading and he exists both within and without. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13:34. Yatha Prakashyati Eka Krishnam Lokam Imam Ravihi Kshetram Kshetri Tatha Krishnam Prakashyati Bharata. O son of Bharata, as sun alone illuminates all this universe, so do the living entity and the super soul illuminate the entire body by consciousness. In other words, the consciousness of both the soul and super soul is all pervading. The limited consciousness of the living entity is pervading the entire material body, and the supreme consciousness of the Lord is pervading the entire universe. Because the soul is present within the body, consciousness pervades the entire body. Similarly, because the Supreme Soul of Krishna is present within this universe, everything is working in order. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-unmoving beings. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Lord Shiva is therefore praying to the personality of Godhead to be kind to us, so that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. The word Amushmai is significant in this regard because it indicates the best target one can aim for after attaining the higher planetary systems. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities, karmis, attain the higher planetary systems as a result of their pious past activities, and the jnanis who seek unification or a monistic merging with the effulgence of the Supreme Lord also attain the desired end. But in the ultimate issue, the devotee who desire to personally associate with the Lord are promoted to the Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 10:12 as Pavitram Paramam, the Supreme Pure. This is also confirmed in this verse. Shukadeva Goswami has stated that the cowherd boys who played with Lord Krishna were not ordinary living entities. Only after accumulating many pious activities in various births does one get the opportunity to personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since only the pure can reach Him, He is the Supreme Pure. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamadam Shri Gurur Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyatamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Pavitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Today is the most auspicious day because today is the appearance day of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today is the 1, 2, 3 as a speciality. What is 1, 2, 3? 123rd birth anniversary of our beloved founder Acharya. And today we celebrate Sri Vyas Puja. Vyas Puja means we are seeing Srila Prabhupada as the representative of Srila Vyasadeva. He is Vyasadeva for us. Why is it so? Vyasa means to explain. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Tasyeva Vyasam Ichhami Jnatum Te Bhagavan Yatha. Tasyeva Vyasam Ichhami is from the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter, verse number 2. That is, Shivadev Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit is requesting, I would like to know more about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vyasam Ichhami. So I want to know more about the Supreme Lord. We need the explanation, we need the purport to the Vedic literature, to Srimad Bhagavatam, to Bhagavad Gita, to all other Vedic literature. So Vyasadev expanded and explained all the Vedic literature. The Vedas he compiled, he wrote Puranas, he wrote Brahma Sutra, etc. So he explained the Vedic literature. Similarly, when it comes to today, who has done that? Srila Prabhupada has done that. Whatever Vyasadeva had written, he further explained for the current day civilization. Because we don't have sufficient intelligence to understand those ancient Sanskrit writings and come to the right conclusions and apply in our day-to-day life. Because even if you give this explanation, still people can get bewildered. After reading, even devotees, is that written in the books? Now, do we really have to practice? So this is our situation. So if the whole text is presented in Sanskrit, and that too not with proper translation and explanation, what is the hope for us to understand about the devotional process, which is guhyam, which is secret. Raja guhyam, it is the king of secrets. It's an open secret. Everything is present, but there is no access without a bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today, I was thinking about today's verse. It is such an arrangement of the Supreme Lord that in this verse, it is talking about by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. The whole purport is talking about the importance of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is talking about the importance of the Vedic scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada came to explain this Vedic literature. So see, Krishna has made the arrangement in this purport. It could have been any other verse for today, but it happened that it is exactly presenting the purpose behind Srila Prabhupada's appearance. That is very amazing. And interestingly, Prabhupada couple of times mentioned the same purport. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not different from Krishna, and by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can understand everything, both material and spiritual. It's a big statement, right? Just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can understand everything, both material and spiritual. It is a reality because it is coming from a realized soul. It is just like the statement of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami anyasheshatah yajnato neha bhuyo anyajnatavyam avashishyate. In the second chapter, Krishna says, by hearing this knowledge, there is nothing else to be known. Everything is there. Asheshatah means complete. Shesha means something is left behind. Asheshatah, nothing is left behind. Whatever I speak, it is complete. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada has given everything. And this purport is such a wonderful purport because it has everything. That is the speciality of Srila Prabhupada's purports. I used to think when I started reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, why Prabhupada is repeating the same points? The reality is, in Kali Yuga, we don't have time. Even if you pick up and read any purport, the conclusions are present in even in one purport. It's not like going round and round about. There are commentators who give purport to some verses in Bhagavad Gita, and it will not touch the reality, it will not touch the truth. It go in circles. One such commentator in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, you might have read about how a yogi meditates. Right? A yogi goes to the forest to seclusion and meditates. And there is the whole description of Chaila Ajna Kushottaram. How he sits. There has to be a cloth, there has to be a kusha grass, and then sit on top of that. So then the whole explanation is there. One of the commentators, he gave the entire purport on the kusha grass. So, not touching Kushagras, okay, Kushagras is used for the worship, but the entire purpose is to focus on Krishna. The actual purpose is lost, and the whole explanation became how to sit on a Kushagras and the importance of Kushagras. This is how, even if you pick the Vedic literature, if one doesn't have the right consciousness, one cannot see the reality. So, Srila Prabhupada has given everything. So, even one purport, everything is present. And to glorify this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Srila Prabhupada established this response society to glorify Krishna, to propagate Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted to know our society in name of Krishna, and he was so happy that we are known as the Hare Krishnas or Hares or the Krishnas, whatever. But everything connected to our mantras. So this is such an amazing thing that Srila Prabhupada came, delivered the entire literature to propagate this mantra, and we can see that is reflected in this purport. It's mentioned in commentaries of Acharyas that the pure devotion is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. It's not possible for the pure bhakti to appear in this world from any other source. It has to come from the heart of a pure devotee. Even Krishna himself doesn't do directly. Krishna empowers his representatives to distribute this knowledge, to distribute this mercy. So if you see, ISKCON is coming from the pure devotion of Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON is coming from the heart of Srila Prabhupada. So that's the reality, because that is Prabhupada knew what exactly to do. If you read through, we can see how Prabhupada exactly knew what to do, how to propagate his mission. His mission was there in his heart. It was so clear. Yesterday, I spent a few hours thinking about Srila Prabhupada, reading about him. So it was an amazing meditation, seeing Prabhupada, how he was so absorbed for so many decades, preparing to start this mission, preparing himself as a grihastha, as a family man, running business, etc. He was so absorbed thinking about this. And Srila Prabhupada himself says, ISKCON is coming from the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Then next he says, why Krishna appeared? Paritranaya, sadhuna, vinashaya, cha, dushkarta. He wanted to give, Krishna appears to give protection to the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. That is the purpose of incarnation of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says, ISKCON is doing the same purpose. Whatever Krishna appeared for the same purpose, ISKCON is standing. So Prabhupada says, ISKCON is like incarnation. ISKCON is like an incarnation of Krishna, because it's doing the same purpose. And another purpose, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting point. This is very connected to yesterday. That is, yesterday is Krishna Janmashtami, Krishna's appearance day. So there in the 10th canto, we hear that Krishna came from the womb of Mother Devaki. He says that now Krishna is coming from ISKCON. So ISKCON is acting as the womb, just like the womb of Mother Devaki. So Prabhupada uses ISKCON and he connects to Krishna in different ways, in different places. And it is a very interesting meditation. And we can clearly see how by associating with ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement, everyone knows about Krishna. And Krishna manifests in everyone's heart. We chant Krishna's name very naturally. So to understand ISKCON, one has to understand Srila Prabhupada. Because of all these reasons, you want to understand what is ISKCON? We had to understand Srila Prabhupada. Without that, it is impossible to understand anything about ISKCON. To understand the mood, to understand the mission, how to act, etc. So this is so significant. If you see the life of Srila Prabhupada, one point I was thinking, we know Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, he is a Nitya Siddha, he is eternally perfect. He was chosen by Lord Sri Krishna to come and propagate pure devotional service. However, his preaching attempts were not always successful. Just like an ordinary person tries again and again. Srila Prabhupada, he tried again and again. We can see his life in India. He was constantly trying to establish Krishna consciousness movement in different ways. First, I will speak about one of the interesting ad that he gave in the newspaper. He had only little money because his business was not successful. And he wanted some people to join him. So he wanted young men to join him. And he wanted to train them up. With the little money that he had, he gave an ad in the newspaper. So he mentioned in this that those who would like to be trained as a Vaishnava, please contact me. Boarding and food is provided for free. So he actually, you know, think about it. A person who wants to propagate this mission, he gave an ad in the newspaper. Whoever wants to join me can join me. Okay, shelter is provided, food is provided. I will train you up to become a pure devotee. Bold mission if you think about it. Do you ever think to write, you know, give an ad, okay, whoever wants to join us, okay, join us. No, Prabhupada did that, and there were no takers for this. Not even one person responded for this. So, what can you do? No one came. And after that, after some time, because now, he was staying here and there, you know, he was practically homeless. He left the home, he was in Vrindavan for some time, he is going here and there, staying with his god brothers, he didn't have a place to stay. And then when he got some accommodation temporarily, he gave another ad in the newspaper. Know Bhagavad Gita, learn Bhagavad Gita and be a strong man. Prabhupada said, I am giving home lessons. So whoever wants can contact me, they can come. So it's not, you don't have to commit yourself, it's just like a course. You can come home, you can understand Bhagavad Gita and be a strong man. Definitely no one responded to this invitation. See, Prabhupada was keep trying. And then we know how he tried to establish the League of Devotees in Jhansi. About 2 years he spent with the League of Devotees. And it wasn't successful. Finally, he got a place, and then finally he couldn't actually continue with that place. It was mentioned that Prabhupada went to Vrindavan and then met with his sannyas guru Kesha Maharaj and went back to Jhansi to make a final decision whether to continue on that property for his mission or not. Kesha Maharaj said it's not a good idea to continue there because it's a remote place and what's the point starting a mission in such a remote corner of India? No one will know about it. Meanwhile, the property had almost gone from the hands because some of the ladies, they influenced the owner and they wanted to start some woman society or something like that. So they had already decided to kick Srila Prabhupada out from that place. It didn't work. Then Prabhupada's mission, eventually we can see Prabhupada started writing, he started publishing Bhakti Godhead magazines, and it was a struggle. Even to publish Bhakti Godhead magazine was a struggle. He didn't have money to do that. He was struggling. And he was the publisher, he was the author, he was the publisher, and he was the distributor. All done by one person. And you know, we know what happened, you know, in Delhi, the scorching heat of Delhi, how he was you know, struck by a bull and, you know, the whole commotion took place. So Srila Prabhupada had to go through all this, but still, he kept going. This is amazing. Kept trying all the time. Then he finally completed the 3-volume Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. So that was another success. And he got it published. Afterwards, who unveiled this book? I think Lal Bahadur Shastri, right? So he reached up to the leaders of the society. He wrote a letter to Mahatma Gandhi. That was an amazing letter, just before he got assassinated, that it is better you retire from the active politics and focus on God consciousness. Otherwise, you will have to meet with an inauspicious death. He was writing a letter to Mahatma Gandhi. He didn't get any response from that, but in a few days' time or so, he got assassinated. So, you know, he was trying to reach out to people. Then we know he wrote a letter to Nehru to help in his mission. Of course, he didn't get any response. He met, Lal Bahadur Shastri, he unveiled the book. Then he personally met with Indira Gandhi, but he couldn't speak to Indira Gandhi much about Krishna consciousness because she was in a very fearful condition because there were death threats to her. So she couldn't focus. So Srila Prabhupada didn't speak too much. So this was it. He was trying various means to spread Krishna consciousness. I was hearing this interesting pastime that he wanted to go to, of course, he wanted to go to America, and finally, Sumati Morarji, she organized the ticket in a cargo ship, so we know that. So I was reading this pastime recollection from Sumati Morarji. She was mentioning that Sumati Morarji had already met Srila Prabhupada before. Before Srila Prabhupada went and approached her, in Kurukshetra, Srila Prabhupada went for pilgrimage. And he was a sadhu, a sannyasi. He was sitting in a corner and he was chanting Hare Krishna Mantra. Very dedicated, very absorbed. That time, Sumati Morarji, she came along and paid obeisance to Srila Prabhupada. And asked for blessings. So Srila Prabhupada gave her blessings. And that, so there was already a connection and Prabhupada didn't know. And Prabhupada then approached Sumati Morarji and first asked to help in printing the books and later to help to go to America. So there was already a connection. So that we can see, Sumati Morarji already got that blessing from Srila Prabhupada. And that's why she got that opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada. And now she is very glorious. Otherwise, how many people would have known about Sumati Morarji? The owner of, you know, Sindhya Shipping Company. Now, all throughout ISKCON, there are movies about her. Because she got connected to Srila Prabhupada. She got the blessing of Srila Prabhupada. And eventually, she was able to serve Srila Prabhupada in a nice way. It's all to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Actually, one could ask, why Krishna didn't make an arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to fly to America or arrange a nicer ship to go to America? Why a cargo ship? Why he had to go through all these sufferings? Just like Bhishmadev talks about the Pandavas, Aho Kashtam, Aho Nyayam. Why? What an injustice! How can we see this injustice happening to pure devotees? Bhishmadev is talking about Pandava. Similarly, how can such injustice, unfair treatment by Krishna for his pure devotees? The purpose is Krishna wanted to glorify his pure devotees. That he can go through such situations, still be completely Krishna conscious, and in that situation, such a pure devotee can glorify Krishna and can spread the message throughout the world. So it is Krishna's arrangement, but it is on the ground level, it's not so easy. Prabhupada had to go through different attempts, different preaching attempts and different failures, still moving ahead. And after reaching America also, of course, he went through his health crisis, couple of heart attacks on the ship. And after reaching there, it wasn't easy. He would think, he tried in different ways. He did some outreach programs, even when he was in Pennsylvania Butler, right? Butler, Pennsylvania. He was going some universities, some hall programs. He was trying different things, distributing different books. Even after going to New York, still different attempts. mentioned, initially he used to go back and see when is the next ship back home. So to go back after 1 month, okay, maybe after 1 month, maybe after another month. So there were constant trials to make it successful. There is a human side to it. It's not so easy. It's not like, you know, Krishna gave everything in the plate straight away. No, he was trying again and again and again. And that is very inspirational for us. Srila Prabhupada had such a deep sadhana, and such a deep devotional mood. As a pure devotee, we can see such a deep devotional mood. I was reading this pastime, a recollection by Hridayananda Baba from Vrindavan. He is a resident of Vrindavan. He was living in Vrindavan for many years. And Srila Prabhupada was rather recent to live in Vrindavan. So he used to hear a person, somebody crying, actually, loudly. He's calling out. So, you know, hey Sanatan, hey Rupa, like that. Somebody is calling out. He was thinking, what's really happening? Somebody is crying. So one night, Hridayananda Baba, he climbed up and he was seeing the courtyard of the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and he saw Srila Prabhupada had a small broom and he was just sweeping and he was just crying, begging for mercy from Rupa Goswami. Oh Rupa Goswami, be kind to me, give me mercy to fulfill your mission. He was just literally crying there. Then, at that time, Hridayananda Baba, he was very much moved by the deep mood of Srila Prabhupada and he wanted to serve him. So Baba, he went to Srila Prabhupada's room when he was not there and he started cleaning his room, Srila Prabhupada's room. It is such a small room, you can go visit. And he started cleaning the room and there was the cowherbs were there. So he was cleaning that, he cleaned everything. And as he cleaned everything, Srila Prabhupada came to the room, his room. So Srila Prabhupada said, what have you done? So Babaji said, I have for you, it was unclean, I cleaned everything. So he saw the spiders were running and just going. So Srila Prabhupada said, what have you done? We are new to Vrindavan. He said to the Babaji, we are new to Vrindavan. But the spider and its ancestors, they have lived in Vrindavan for such a long time. For lineages, they are living in Vrindavan. So we are new to this place, but they are not new to this place. So you shouldn't have disturbed them, the spiders. You know? This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Can you see the absorption in Krishna in Vrindavan? This is the depth of Srila Prabhupada. We can only see, one side we see success, but at the same time, that devotion Srila Prabhupada had. Oh, it was, you know, we cannot really think genuinely having such kind of a devotional mood just to a spider. We know the pastime in Advaita Bhavan, right? Have you heard this pastime of this pujari, the recollection of a pujari from the Advaita Bhavan? Briefly, I'll tell this pastime where Srila Prabhupada, this pujari, he is living in Advaita Bhavan in Mayapur. One day he approached that temple, Srila Prabhupada's temple, and you know, he was telling, I know this person who referring to Srila Prabhupada. Because few years back, he used to come very regularly from Calcutta. He was a grihastha. He used to wear white dhoti kurta. He used to sit in one corner, he used to just chant. Nothing, just chant so deeply. And he was simply begging for mercy. And he would go back, you know, after a week or two, he would again come back, sit in Advaita Bhavan, again beg for mercy of Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya, he was one of the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. He cried out to the Lord, because the world is getting so degraded, we need your mercy, your personal appearance to deliver this conditioned source. He was worshipping Salinam Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi. Because he read this verse in the Puranas that if you worship the Lord simply with Ganges water and Tulsi, you can purchase the Lord. So he was requesting, I will purchase the Lord by worshipping him with pure heart in that way. So Srila Prabhupada was praying to Advaita Acharya for mercy. And finally, one day he said, I am going and I want to fulfill the mission of my spiritual master. That was the only thing he had in his mind. So later, he found out that was Srila Prabhupada. He came successful with all his disciples. Now as a sannyasi, with many disciples all over the world, coming to Mayapur. So this is amazing how Srila Prabhupada was so absorbed in sadhana. That's the reason Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he made the statement, his Guru Maharaj, he made the statement when Koshi in Vrindavan, they had this yatra where all disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came and they had the whole parikram. Every day there were discourses by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada, there was a choice given, you know, go and see what the Sheshasai. Sheshasai Vishnu temple, you can go there or you can listen the final address by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So most of the people went to see Sheshasai Vishnu, the big temple, but Srila Prabhupada chose to stay back and listen from his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada recollects, he says that, I thought anytime I can go and visit this temple, but to hear from my spiritual master, it's a very rare opportunity. So he said, okay, I will listen from my spiritual master rather than going to the temple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he recollects when he was recommended for initiation, I have marked him. He listened and he didn't go away. So, you know, that is the quality of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta was very pleased. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he himself predicted about Srila Prabhupada. In one lecture towards the end of his life, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was giving a lecture and there was a big crowd and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was delivering this lecture and he was staring at one person very intensely. So this is a remembrance from one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's god brother. So he was thinking, you know, why my Guru Maharaj is staring at me very intensely. Then he realized, no, he's not staring at me. He's staring at a person behind me. Sometimes it happens, right? And if you ask a question, you look behind, you know, is it to me? So he was thinking, why my Guru is looking at me so intensely? So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was intensely looking at Srila Prabhupada. Now Agrastha, you know, is not so non-personality at that point. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said, however long in the future it may be, one of my disciples will cross the ocean and bring the whole world to Mayapur. So this was the prediction. Bhaktisiddhanta, he didn't tell any name or anything, but he looked at Prabhupada so intensely. After that he said, one of my disciples will cross the ocean and bring the whole world to Mayapur. So this is Bhaktisiddhanta knew. And of course, we know Prabhupada himself tells in many times, and especially in 1976 in Vrindavan, in one of the room conversations, he said regarding the Bombay mutt. Bombay, they were trying to establish the mutt, the Gaudiya mutt, and Srila Prabhupada was doing everything to establish the mutt, raising the funds and helping his godbrothers to get a place to staff a temple, etc. He helped in everything. So his godbrothers, they recommended, okay, let Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu. Abhay Babu should be the temple president, because he has done everything, so he can manage the temple also. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, no. Let him be separate. When the time comes, he will do everything. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's guru, he knew about Srila Prabhupada. You know, from the first instruction, we know, you know, go to the English-speaking countries and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. The first instruction. We know the last instruction. Right. Last instruction that Srila Prabhupada received before Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj departed. He wrote a letter, how can I serve you? Because I am not a renunciant, I am not a sannyasi, I am not a brahmachari. All of them are serving you very nicely, but I have my business, I have my family, how can I serve you? Again, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, before departing, gave the same message. That go to the English speaking countries and spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. That will be the best for you as well as best for the rest of the world. So that became his life's mission. And of course, we know the prediction from Lord Chandas Thakur. mara senapati bhakta, that is my senapati general, my general will catch people if sinful people try to escape from religious principles and run away, but my senapati bhakta, my general will go and capture everyone. That's why we are here. We are sitting here because of Srila Prabhupada. He is a senapati bhakta. We all try to run away from religious principles. We don't want to follow. Then Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representative, they are catching us. And that's how we start our Krishna consciousness. So if you see Srila Prabhupada in the context of the entire parampara, his presentation is so significant. Vyasadeva has written Srimad Bhagavatam, but time and time, again and again, this knowledge is lost, and Krishna sends his representatives to re-establish these teachings. So for us, we can see how Srila Prabhupada came and delivered this knowledge. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, this is a conversation between, I think, Rameshwar Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada and a press reporter. The press reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, did you write this book, Krishna book? It was about Krishna book. Prabhupada said, no, I wrote it, but Krishna was dictating this book. I just simply wrote it. Krishna was dictating and I was just writing it. So Rameshwar Prabhu, he tried to correct the situation, which is not proper. He said, no, what Prabhupada meant is Krishna inspired him to write. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, Krishna personally dictated this Krishna book and I simply wrote it. So Rameshwar Prabhu was bewildered and the press reporter as well. So that's a reality. So Prabhupada was in touch with Krishna. And another time Prabhupada himself personally told that I shouldn't have come here, because he was quarantined one time. He didn't have that letter that he in the yellow fever. So he was quarantined and he told Harishwari Prabhu that, you know, I shouldn't have come here. I shouldn't have come here? Because to this airport? Or, you know, what's going on? So Prabhupada said, no, I shouldn't have come here. Then Prabhupada said, no, I shouldn't have come to this material world. Can you see a different perspective altogether? We say, you know, I shouldn't have come to Australia, to Melbourne or India, whatever. We think like that. But Prabhupada said, I shouldn't have come to this material world. But Krishna asked me to go. And just you, Krishna said, you simply go and write about me. Rest, I will take it. This is Prabhupada. His whole appearance is to write books about Krishna and propagate. That's all. Then Krishna, take care. Because Krishna and writings about Krishna are not different. Krishna and the mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, no different. Abhinatam Namanamina, there's no difference between the name and one who possesses that name. Because this is spiritual, this is completely transcendental. In one conversation, Harishwari Prabhu, he was servant of Srila Prabhupada. Harishwari Prabhu, he recollects, he spoke about this here also in Melbourne. One time he was massaging Srila Prabhupada, and at the end of the massage, he asked, it was a very intimate moment between Harishwari Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So Harishwari Prabhu wanted to wanted a confirmation from Srila Prabhupada. So he asked, Harishwari Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, I have heard that you got the personal darshan of Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So Prabhupada, he didn't want to completely admit. He said, oh, everyone knows about it. That was an answer. Everyone knows about it. And he didn't speak any Swarala. Then one of these mutts in Dasa Damodar Mandir, one of the Goswamis, he mentioned Gopal Chand. He was he's a grown-up man, he's a Gopal Chand, he's a Goswami, you know, he's a priest. When he was a young boy, he used to be with Srila Prabhupada. Because he was a young boy and a family who is looking after the temple, and in that temple Srila Prabhupada is residing in a small room, as you know, Radha Damodar temple. So this Gopal Chand, this boy, he used to steal money from the hundi. You know, the donation box. Hundi means the donation box. Young boy, so he used to, because he's the son of the priest, he used to just go
like take out some money, and he would go and buy some sweets. So he used to do that. And Srila Prabhupada, he is a great observant of everything. He can catch everything. He caught him. He said, you know, don't steal money of Krishna. So he said, you know, I'm stealing money to eat some sweets. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, I will make sweets and give to you. So he used to give. Prabhupada used to make sweets and give to this boy. He said, don't steal Krishna's property. So Gopal Chand, he had a very good connection with Srila Prabhupada. He used to serve Srila Prabhupada. And his mother would cook prasadam and would give to Gopal Chand and give to Srila Prabhupada. So he used to do that. So there was a bond between this boy and Srila Prabhupada. And the if you go to Radha Damodar Mandir, Vrindavan, to enter to the temple, there is a big gate, right? It's a big wooden, huge door. If you close it, no one can go in and out. It's really big. It is well protected. So one night, Srila Prabhupada was very sick, cold, and you know, he was feeling very tired, and he was feeling very down. And he told Gopal Chand, I don't want to eat anything. So as usual, the family closed the temple, so no one can come inside this locked. And that night, this family, both Gopal Chand, his parents, they heard a very rich, deep voice coming from Srila Prabhupada's room. They were wondering what's happening. And they could see some effulgent light coming underneath the door as well. So they were wondering, who is there in this middle of the night? Nobody is here, and what's really going on? The next day morning, they approached Srila Prabhupada and asked, what happened? We heard something, and we saw some effulgence. Then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Rupa and Sanatan, the Goswamis, they came in front of me. And I asked for blessings. And they said, you simply write these books and the whole parampara is behind you. You take this book and you write, you publish, and we are all behind you. We will help in all different ways that this message can be propagated throughout the world. So they had this darshan, this vision of Sri Rupa and Sanatan. So this is amazing if you think about it. And that's why Srila Prabhupada's books are so powerful. If you consider the potency of an author, the author's potency can be evaluated by how many people his or her writings are helping and how deeply are they helping. How wide are they being helped and how deeply are they helping. So when we see, there have been many philosophers, many authors, but Srila Prabhupada's writings have profusely helped people widely as well as deeply. Generally, something which goes wide may not necessarily go very deep. It can spread around, a message can spread around quite a bit, but it may not be so deep. So in case of Srila Prabhupada, it is both very wide as well as very deep. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami says, what's the use of a poet's poetry if it cannot pierce the heart of the reader and cause the head to spin? He said, what's the use of the poetry? It has to pierce the heart and one's head should spin. Then that poetry is good. Srila Prabhupada's writings are like that. It actually pierces the heart. When you start reading Srila Prabhupada's book, it actually pierces the heart and causes the head to spin and wake up in proper Krishna consciousness. Wake up to the reality, Jeev Jago. That is Srila Prabhupada's writings. It is very clear, it is very powerful. I remember one devotee mentioning to me, his father started reading Srila Prabhupada's book. He was telling, oh, this person is too heavy. Many people said the same thing. This person is too heavy. Because it's touching the heart. You have all these materialistic desires, and Srila Prabhupada's writings are actually chopping, cutting through the illusion. And it is very necessary. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj, he also had this chopping technique. They used to call it as chopping technique. If they bring someone to preach to, they would put in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he would cut all these material illusions. And Prabhupada and his godmother, they used to call this a chopping technique. And Prabhupada remembers that some of his godbrothers didn't want to bring new people in front of their guru because they thought that our Guru Maharaj is going to use the chopping technique, so it may not help them. So they were not very appreciative of that technique. They couldn't see the purity behind that. And Prabhupada says, those who didn't appreciate that the approach of his Guru Maharaj, they all fell down from the path. All of them. It was just a matter of time. And Prabhupada had the same technique, but it was very piercing. Piercing technique. He could go to the heart and change the heart. Even now, it is same thing. Prabhupada quotes the same verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo janadag viplo. Yasmin prati shlokam abadhe vanskepi. Namani anandase yachongitani yashrinandi gayanti grhanandi sadhava. Prabhupada writes this verse, quotes this verse in each volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse is there. Because the literature which is full with descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a transcendental creation meant to bring about a revolution in the impious life of a misdirected civilization. See, we are talking about spiritual transcendental revolution in the hearts of impious civilization. Such transcendental literature, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So this is Srila Prabhupada's writing. It can create such a revolution. And now as a devotees, it is our responsibility to read Srila Prabhupada's books, discuss Srila Prabhupada's books, distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Because he came to write these books. And if he say, I don't have time to read Srila Prabhupada's books, doesn't make any sense. The whole purpose of Srila Prabhupada to come from the spiritual world to this material world and to go through the whole struggle is primarily to write these books. And from that books, everything else comes. Books are the basis. So it is our responsibility as the disciples, as the followers, to read the book, understand the book, apply in our life. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, on the Vyas Puja occasion of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, when he read that couplet from Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, whatever he writes, publish it. Because they had this magazine, The Harmonist. The absolute sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. So this was one of the couplet from Srila Prabhupada in the entire poem. Absolute sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, that has moved. So this was Prabhupada's writing. So after reading this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, he has actually understood the essence of my teachings. Because he directly cut through impersonalism. The impersonal calamity. One is, the God is a person, God is not impersonal. And impersonalism is a calamity. That he made these two points. God is a person and impersonalism is a calamity. So, when Prabhupada wrote this, when reading this, he said, he has actually understood the essence of my teachings. So, whatever he writes, publish. So, his godbrothers gave him the title as Kavi. They used to call him Kavi. Kavi means poet or a great person. Kavi has two meanings. One is a poet or a great personality. So, even gopis are known as Kavi. Kavi Bhiriditam Kalma Shapaham Tankandashima Kavyatam. Kavi. So, great personalities, great devotees are also known as Kavi and they are poets. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers gave him another title, that is Bhakti Vedanta. So, this is very important. That's why Srila Prabhupada is known as Bhakti Vedanta. And Srila Prabhupada's books are still preaching. It's so powerful, still preaching. It is preaching to who we are trying to practice and also to the new people. People read Srila Prabhupada's books now also. Read Srila Prabhupada's books and they start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Simply by reading Srila Prabhupada's books without any other association, people start practicing Krishna consciousness. Isn't it amazing? Now also, it happens. Recently, we know two boys I was meeting with. They got a copy of Bhagavad Gita. And he started reading this copy of Bhagavad Gita. And first time he said it doesn't make any sense to him. After first chapter, because first chapter is all names and storyline. Didn't make any sense. After some time, he again took Bhagavad Gita and read the entire book. And this time, it made complete sense. And after that, he was trying to understand who is the Srila Prabhupada, browsing and trying to understand who is the Srila Prabhupada, what are his further teaching, what do we have to do. He picked up chanting, at least doing some chanting. He even came up to the level of, without meeting devotees, start offering bhoga to the Lord. Set up on altar and start offering bhoga to the Lord. This is the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the amazing pastime of Achala Prabhu. Achala Prabhu is a, I think his name is something else now, he's a sannyasi from Russia. I don't know his name. His previous name was Achala Prabhu. He was a general or something in the Russian army. And two of his subordinates, they started Krishna consciousness, they started chanting, they started reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And this general was interested in yoga and meditation and he wanted to know something about it. So he knew his couple of subordinates were into yoga and meditation. They called them up. So they were thinking, they were devotees. They were practicing, but they were in the army, Russian army. They were thinking, okay, we are in trouble. Because the general is calling us, we are in trouble. So they went. Anyway, they went. They asked, yeah, I heard that you know about yoga meditation. I want to know more about it. Can you give us some books? So they gave him Bhagavad Gita. And then asked, please give us a donation. Help us to print these books. So they were proper book distributors. So they asked for money. And first of all, they were impressed that, you know, the general was very impressed that, you know, they are bold, you know, they are giving book and after that asking money also. So he gave a donation and he took the book. And whenever they meet, they ask this subordinate, they would ask this general, you know, did you read the book? So he hadn't yet read the book. So one time he thought, okay, they are asking so many times, at least I should read the book. So he took Bhagavad Gita, he started reading Bhagavad Gita, only the translation. So he read the entire Bhagavad Gita, only the translation. Then when they met, he said, okay, yeah, I read the book. Because now he can tell, I read the book. Then it went on for some time. After that, he had a dream. Still in army, he had a dream. In the dream, Srila Prabhupada appeared. Same person, he had never met Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada appeared in the dream and told him, in Russian, it's an interesting thing. Srila Prabhupada spoke Russian in the dream and he told Achala Prabhu, it will be good if you read the purports as well. And he said, this is serious, you know. The author is personally coming in my dream and telling that to in Russian that, you know, please read my purports. Then he read all the purports and he became a devotee and he became a Sankirtan leader. And later a sannyasi, I don't know his sannyasi name, but you know, such a transformation. Achala means fixed, he was so fixed. Chala means to change, you know, temporary. Achala, fixed. He was so fixed. He was the best book distributor, best book distributor, Sankirtan leader, etc. He became so fixed like that. So that is Achala Prabhu. So it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada is preaching. He preaches, and how also he preaches. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books, by serving him, he's helping us. He's present completely. And so far, you know, if you talk about writings of Srila Prabhupada, so far Srila Prabhupada wrote 22,000 pages on dictaphone. How many? 22,000 pages on dictaphone. And 60 volumes of book and 6,586 letters. Can you see how much word I've written? Just think about it, you know, 22,000 pages on dictaphone, 60 volumes of book, 6,586 letters. I'll tell the significance of that in a few minutes. And 2,901 recorded lectures. And apart from other thousands of room conversations and morning walks. The significance of letters is that he managed the entire society through letters, through his writings. Many devotees used to say that we don't know how Srila Prabhupada is managing this entire society. Now, you know, management is a difficult task, first of all. And if you want to manage, you know, hundreds of temples around the world and thousands of followers, it is not an easy task. There is no email, there is no, you know, you can publish on the website. Nothing is there. How can you do that? Prabhupada used to do that by writing his letters. He used to dictate letters and his secretary used to type and send it to various temples. So they would send, these are the problems. So he used to have time, a few hours dedicated to do this purpose. So the devotees would read out the letter, Prabhupada would give the answer, and it would be posted. So this was a routine every single day. Prabhupada was so regulated. Sleeping certain hours, getting up, everything so regulated. So this is by writing his letters, he managed the entire society with the managerial issues as well as personal issues. So if you read the letters of different devotees, many were just personal issues. I have this problem, I have the other problem, I have this, I have, and Prabhupada used to reply to all those letters. So amazing, he used to manage the entire society just by his writing. Now we think it is so nice to be with Srila Prabhupada. Like we all think like that, right? We all dream, isn't it? It would be so wonderful to be with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is personally present, even if you get association, and it's so wonderful. But devotees say it is very wonderful, it's very nectarian, but it's very demanding too. It's not so easy. Because a pure devotee, he wants to push this movement, he wants to spread the glories of the Lord everywhere. So he himself pushes so hard, and he will push others also. One time, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, one of the leading disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was mentioning, he was distributing books in the street, and all the devotees, they were working so hard, morning till night, they were distributing books. So one person, he was observing these devotees, you know, they are working so hard. So this devotee, so it's not a devotee, he's just an outside person, he approached Ravindra Swarup Prabhu and told, you are just being exploited. You are working so hard, so whoever you are serving, he is simply exploiting you. You don't have such a fancy clothes, you don't have any money, you are not paid for, you are just simply being brainwashed and you are just working too hard. At the same time, who is engaging you in this work, he is simply enjoying. He is not doing anything, you know, you are just being exploited. Then Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says, When I heard this, I started thinking, you know, whatever work I am doing, this is nothing in front of what Srila Prabhupada is doing now. He is in such an old age, but how much work he is doing, how many few hours he is sleeping, that is much, much more than in my 20s, whatever I am doing. So, you know, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, we could directly see, you know, the fallacy in the statement. So this is Srila Prabhupada, so it's not so easy. And a classic example of this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon. How many of you haven't heard about Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon? Okay, there are a few people who haven't heard. Anyway, we'll describe it. This story, even if you hear hundreds of times, it's not still not boring. So it was a morning walk conversation in Los Angeles. Why it happened? Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about his books because he had already finished Chaitanya Charitamrita and no work has actually been started about Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Bhagavatam, he had already finished four cantos published, but he already completed work for fifth canto. So now he was concerned about his followers. Are they going to really publish the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita? And Bhagavatam is also, fifth canto is already ready, it's not being published. So he was very much concerned. We can understand why he is concerned, because his whole mission is to write books and publish, and after publishing only it can be distributed. But Prabhupada has his commitment to the Parampara and to Krishna. So now, his disciples, they have to play the game on the higher level. They cannot just, you know, be, you know, last, you know, lackluster. You know, they had to really do it. So, in the conversation, Prabhupada asked, he asked Amisha Prabhu, who was in charge. So, in the mini speech, he asked, so, there are 17 volumes unpublished. And this is a great problem for our movement. So there are 17 volumes to be published now. And if it's not published, it's going to be a great problem for the movement. So ask Ramishwar Prabhu, when can they be published? So Ramishwar Prabhu said, okay, we will speed up the process and we can do it as soon as possible. But we will need our managerial meeting. After the meeting, we will come and we will tell you when we can, how fast we can publish this entire series of books. So they had the meeting. And after the meeting, next day came, the Prabhupada asked, when can it be published? He said, we are really going to make it fast. We are going to print these books, one volume of book every month. So 17 books means 17 months, the entire series will be completed. It's very fast. Because currently, I think every 3 or 4 months, one volume has been published. So making the speed about 4 times. Now, what did Prabhupada say? Get everything done in?
17 months.
How many months?
3 months.
1 month.
Okay.
17 months, right?
Prabhupada said, I think they can be printed in 2 months. How is that? So, not one volume. The entire series of books, Prabhupada said, it has to be printed in 2 months. Ramachandra Prabhu said, it is impossible. What did Prabhupada say? Impossible is a word in fool's dictionary. So, Prabhupada, he is not going to watch. He is not going to do anything. He said, this has to be printed in 2 months. And Ramachandra Prabhu didn't have any choice. As an obedient disciple, he had to say, yes, Prabhupada, we will do it. Now, so, you know, so many volumes of book in 2 months. How is it practically possible? Because book publication is so difficult. It's written. Now it has to be proofread. There is copy editing. Then Prabhupada was very demanding. There has to be plenty of artworks in the books. Paintings, you know, it's not a photograph. Now we can go around and click some photos. Some other books probably you can click and you can put everything together. Now this has to be artwork. So he wanted a lot of paintings in the books. And everything has to be ready before Vyas Puja of Srila Prabhupada. Like today is Vyas Puja. Similarly, Vyas Puja. So there are 2 months before Vyas Puja. Before Vyas Puja, everything has to be ready. So this is the instruction. And you know, if a guru is giving an instruction, we are duty bound. A disciple is bound by that instruction. So the devotees were feeling, what can we do now? If we don't fulfill this instruction, we are going to go away from the parampara. We are going to displease the spiritual master. It's a question of spiritual survival. We have to do something. Then the Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon work started. In terms of artwork, one artist would paint for a few hours, maybe 6 hours or 8 hours, complete a painting to some degree. And then the next artist would come. From that point, that artist would start. 24 hours the work was going on. And the devotees, they had 14, 15 hours they used to work. Proofreading, 14, 15 hours reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Can you imagine? And editing, and there shouldn't be any mistakes. They were working like that. And finally, the day and night, shift around the clock to publish these books. And they were making progress. Okay, the first volume is coming, the next volume is coming. They were making progress. And finally, they completed printing. So they got a special copy for Srila Prabhupada. It has golden design and golden pages side, everything golden decorated. So they had the whole thing. And one devotee who was in charge, he flew to India to give this, the whole set, as a Vyas Puja gift to Srila Prabhupada. So he somehow or other came to Vrindavan, I assume, and got there. And when he reached there, Vyas Puja has already finished now. The celebration finished and Prabhupada has gone to his quarters. And he was thinking, you know, now something profound is going to happen. Maybe the demigods are going to throw the flowers from the sky to the pole. There is going to be celestial singing. He was thinking, you know, because we have achieved something which is impossible. And they approached Srila Prabhupada and gave the whole series, the set of books to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it is late. My instruction was before Vyas Puja. Now Vyas Puja celebration has finished. Now you came after that. Prabhupada, what are you doing? You are late. Okay, still I accept, it's good, but not up to the mark. Then, of course, Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. He wrote a letter to the entire team. Whoever has participated in this marathon work, they will go back home, back to Godhead in the same lifetime. So this is the blessing that Srila Prabhupada gave. This is a letter written. Everyone got that blessing who participated. The Prabhupada is testing him even to the last degree. So this is the Prabhupada. It's not so easy, even with book distribution. One temple would do so many books, thousands and thousands and thousands of books. What was the record in 3 days? 15,000 books. Right? LA, they did something like 15,000 books in 3 days. Big. And then Prabhupada's instruction was always double it. Next year, double it. Whatever you do, just double it. So double it means you can work hard and do something, and next year you have to double it. It's not so easy. Initially maybe easy, after some time, it's exponential growth. It's not so easy. So Prabhupada, that was all the pushing. So that Krishna's name is spread all over the world. So that the conditioned beings are getting help. It is not for himself. Prabhupada never put himself in the forefront. Prabhupada never needed that. That's why he was so happy to be in this movement, to be known as Hare Krishna movement, not by his name. He didn't want many other missions. If you see, the founder's name, you can see part of the mission. The name itself is the founder's name. Prabhupada never wanted that. Prabhupada never wanted to glorify himself. He was always glorifying Krishna. Then his followers, they realized, we have to glorify Srila Prabhupada. We, of course, we are propagating Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but we have to glorify Srila Prabhupada also. That's why they're spreading Srila Prabhupada's glories as well. So important. For our society, ISKCON society, even after departure of Srila Prabhupada, still it is flourishing. There is a difference between many other societies and ISKCON. Many societies, after the founder leave this planet, then go through such a hard time, and eventually the society can crumble and become, you know, namesake only. However, with Prabhupada, even though initially the society had to go through different kinds of chaos, different kinds of problems, still, even though there were individual failures, ISKCON has always been a collective success. This is a very important point to be noted. There have been many, many individual failures, but collectively, ISKCON has always been a success. Compared to even Gaudiya Mutha, different organizations, they, even the many Swamis, many Sannyasis, they were able to keep up their vows. They remained as celibate throughout their life. They kept up their nuns' order of life. Still, collectively, they couldn't achieve much. Prabhupada leaving, ISKCON had troubles, but still, collectively, ISKCON remained a success. And now, also, it is flourishing. That's why I was reading the statistics. This is from 2015, it's 4 years old, but still, it gives us an idea. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, India, with 40 rupees, equivalent of $7. So, this is August 13, 1965. And this is 2015 statistics. It's after 50 years later, what happened? 602 temples throughout the world. So that actually shows. There were 108 temples and now 605 temples. How Srila Prabhupada's mission is flourishing even after his departure. Because of his teaching, because of his training. 65 farm and eco-villages. 54 educational institutions. 110 Hare Krishna restaurants throughout the world. 75,000 initiated devotees. Now probably it will be close to 80,000. This is 4 years back. And about 7 million guests are coming to our centers on a yearly basis. And 2,000 home programs. And 560 million books have been distributed so far. Till 1550 years time, 516 million books have been distributed. That is a big number. We can go further. And actually, in terms of prasadam, it's mentioned 3 billion plates of prasadam have been distributed so far. 3 billion. How is that? 3 billion. It's a big number. So this is how Srila Prabhupada is still preaching. Srila Prabhupada is still preaching, and his mission is still flourishing because of Prabhupada has given the knowledge. He has given the formula. So if you follow that, we can make progress. He is the greatest missionary. It's not now, even for the future, he is the greatest missionary. In his, you know, how many aims are there for ISKCON? Seven aims. In those seven aims of ISKCON, he covered everything. Whatever we are doing in Krishna consciousness, whatever we have done in Krishna consciousness, what we will do in the future in Krishna consciousness, they are all covered in the seven aims of ISKCON. And Prabhupada was such a visionary that Prabhupada wanted farm communities. Prabhupada wanted farm communities, right, in the beginning, not necessarily the beginning, but he emphasized so much, at least towards the end, so much he emphasized the farm communities towards the middle and towards the end. The reason is, he could actually see that we need sustainable societies. Now, if we see ourselves now, what's happening in this world, if we have sustainable farm communities, it is such a big preaching. Isn't it? Now people are into this kind of stuff. If we have a model where we have sustainable farm societies, people will just come and visit. We don't have to go to people. People come and visit. That's the reality. Hungary, if you see, it's not 100% sustainable, of course. But still, you know, thousands and thousands of people are visiting. Many scholars, many professors, they come and visit the Hungary farm. In India, if you see the Eco Village, it has won many awards. Because people want to see the practical application of the philosophy that can help the masses, the farm communities which are self-sustainable, growing own food, living there, and you know, just be there. And you have everything is provided. One has simple living and high thinking. We took time. We are not yet there in developing such communities, but still we are in the attempt to do so. But Prabhupada is such a missionary, he could see that in the past. So, had we followed that time in a serious fashion, then actually speaking, where would we really, we would be top in terms of influencing the entire society. So this is the reality, this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could see everything very clearly. Even if the chanting party, Harinam Sankirtan, I'll tell you one incident happened just a few weeks back. One of our devotees, I have heard this before also, one of our devotees, Yadadev Prabhu, who is very enthusiastic about Harinam Sankirtan. He's doing his studies in Melbourne University. So, he told you, the amazing story, his professor, one of the, I think, social psychology, he told him, he showed a video, or he made a statement. Did he show a video?
First made a statement, then he showed a picture, then he showed a video.
You see this? First he, about what? About the Harinam party.
Yeah.
Made a statement, then showed the picture and showed the video. And he made a statement that this is the best way of marketing. There is chanting, there is dancing, they are distributing literature, they are distributing prasadam, food. And in that way, these people, he is from America, he didn't know much about the devotees. These people, they are attracting people and they catch them, and after that they are getting shaved and they are joining. They said, this is the best way of marketing. According to psychological studies, this is the best marketing. In Melbourne Uni, just a month ago, this professor, he had a whole presentation about Harinam Party. I have heard this similar kind of statement, some happened in America also. You know, best marketing, who is giving? Srila Prabhupada has given the best marketing. He's a missionary. No need to change many things, of course. We had use of intelligence, how to spread the movement, but at the same time, you could see he gave this. Yoga, meditation, it is, you know, such a common thing now, everywhere. Right? Even on your watch, you can see the yoga meditation. So, Prabhupada started it out. Vegetarian food. Started by Prabhupada, basically speaking. Spread. You know, we know that that article when Crosses was sold to the new owners 3 years back, you remember? There was a newspaper article in which one of the initial sentences was very interesting. The Hare Krishna people who trained us how to eat vegetarian food. That is a statement in the article. It is a reality. If we see so many people are vegetarian, it's because of Crosses, because of Prabhupada. Such a reality, right? You know, from so many years. It's a reality. So Prabhupada is a missionary, and it is just a matter of time to come. We see the glory of Srila Prabhupada more and more. When we are very close to something, it is very difficult to appreciate. If we are too close to a mountain, we cannot be too close to a mountain, we cannot really see the height and the breadth of the mountain. We will be just caught up in a few areas, a few regions. That's what we can see. But as you go away from the mountain, you can see how big the mountain is, how wide it is, how tall it is. That's the Srila Prabhupada. It's just a matter of time to come. We'll see the glories of Srila Prabhupada more and more. So this is a reality. So he's the one who is driving it all. His time is going. So just a final statement. What's our service to Srila Prabhupada? That is our question. The reality is, whatever service we are doing to Srila Prabhupada, it is glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Say, for example, if you are distributing one book, a one book point, okay, we say it's a one book point. It is that one book point is actually Srila Prabhupada's book point. Can you see that? If you do 10 books, that is adding to Srila Prabhupada's book point. So we come in front of Srila Prabhupada, we can come in front of the deities, we read out our book score, how many plates of prasadam distributed, what's the Lakshmi kind of collected, etc. We are reading in front of Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, all the entire society, whatever we are distributing, it is Srila Prabhupada is actually giving to the parampara, the Acharya San Krishna. He is a spiritual master. So if we, whatever we do, the parampara is appreciating. It's a glory to Srila Prabhupada. Can you see? So all our scores are included in Srila Prabhupada's scores. He is reading to the parampara. He is reading to Krishna. And the entire parampara is pleased with Srila Prabhupada. So if you do distribute one book, if you distribute some prasadam, if you do some service, Srila Prabhupada is pleased. And all the parampara is pleased. And ultimately, we have to take this opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada and also to purify our heart. The purpose is we had to purify our heart. We had to develop devotion for the Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada is most pleased. All the services, everything, ultimately, we had to purify others, we had to purify ourselves also. Very important. Like one time, devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what's the best service? Some people said, book distribution is the best service. Some devotees said, no, cooking for Krishna, that's the best service. Some devotees said, no, deity worship, dressing the deity is the best service. No, Harinam Sankirtan, the best service. Managing the temple, that's the best service. Making the devotees, that's the best service. So, different devotees, they wanted to tell whatever they are doing, that's the best service. And many devotees thought, okay, Prabhupada is now going to tell, book distribution is going to the best service. So the book distributors are waiting to hear that. Best service is book distribution. You know what Prabhupada said? No, he said, whoever loves Krishna the most is the best devotee. It can be through any service. Whoever loves Krishna the most is the best. Prabhupada, see the purity of the devotee. Services are there, he glorifies, he pushes, but at the same time, he understands what is the essence. Everything to deepen our connection to our Guru, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. That is the whole purpose. So we need to come to that point. And for that, we have to glorify Srila Prabhupada. We take help from Srila Prabhupada's books. We distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We serve the mission. We dedicate our lives. That is the whole thing. And this we need to try sincerely. That sincere attempt is that what is required. And that is our responsibility. Sincerity is our responsibility. You cannot ask the spiritual master Prabhupada, make me sincere. Actually, sincerity is our responsibility. Sincerity is not Guru's responsibility. One devotee wrote to his spiritual master, the real incident, wrote to spiritual master, wrote up, give me blessing, give me other things, finally, give me blessings and, so that I can become sincere. He responded to everything. Finally, he wrote, do you think whose responsibility it is, this, to be sincere? Is it my responsibility or your responsibility? To be sincere is our responsibility. We cannot ask him at all. That is all that we had to do. So this is a day for that commitment. How can we improve ourselves in our sadhana, in our seva, in our relationship with the devotees, etc.? How we can do that? This is a day for contemplation. And where are we going? What can we do? How can we please Srila Prabhupada? We need to think deeply. Because we know the challenges what we
face in our personal practices and also in our services. And we can see where we have to be. So this is a time to actually think about it. And I will tell one last time about Prabhupada here in our temple. So this is, I want to make one point that there is no difference between Srila Prabhupada as the person and the murti. Just like Krishna and Krishna's murti are not different, similarly Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's murti are not different. The reason is Srila Prabhupada is carrying the potency of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram, Adi Guru. Since the Guru is carrying, the Guru is actually the representative of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram. So since they have that potency, the Lord is empowering, so the murti and the person are non-different. So this is a story of a devotee who was a book distributor here in this temple. He used to distribute, as an amazing book distributor, he used to distribute lot of books, plenty of books, you know, top distributor, lot of books he used to distribute. And that was the time we had difficulty in finding people to dress Srila Prabhupada. That's how I started dressing Srila Prabhupada, because there was a shortage of dresses. Now there are too many dresses for Srila Prabhupada. Actually, everyone gets only one day, and many people come and ask, you know, can we get a day? Can we get trained up to dress Srila Prabhupada? So, you know, 7 days, there are seven dresses for Srila Prabhupada. So that time it was a little bit more difficult. Some devotees wouldn't come. It was a bit upside down. And so the devotees requested this book distributor. He knew how to dress Srila Prabhupada. Requested this devotee, can you please dress Srila Prabhupada? Because there is no one to dress Srila Prabhupada. So this devotee refused to do that. Unfortunately, he refused to do that. He said, no, I won't dress Srila Prabhupada. And then somehow or other they managed. And this devotee is a big distributor. He went out on Sankirtan. He tried everything. He couldn't distribute even one book. Can you imagine? We are so dependent on Guru's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy. He couldn't distribute even one book. He came back and he told, this is what happened. Can you see? This is the real person is there. We need a blessing. It is not happening, you know, just accidentally going, books are going. Yes, the mercy is there. And if we disconnect ourselves from the parampara, then there is no mercy. Just like this electricity. If you disconnect, then there is no power. Simple. Like that. So, this is a day to connect to the power source, to the parampara, to Krishna. Such an important day. So, let's look into ourselves. Let's meditate on Srila Prabhupada. Let's take it as an opportunity to commit ourselves to this mission. And let's plan for the future. Plan for Krishna. There's a Prabhupada's instruction. He said, if you want to be peaceful, there's only way you can be peaceful. Planning. A preacher is thinking, how can we expand the moment? He said, if one is thinking about that, then one can be peaceful. Because then there's no time for that. There's no space for nonsense. There's no space for anxiety. Take up the Krishna anxiety, then the material anxieties are gone. We will have some anxiety. Tatra lavindyamapi mundyamekalam janma kodi sukrutena labhyate, Rupa Goswami says. There is only one prize for Krishna consciousness. What is that? Lavindyam. It's the greed and anxiety. Mundyamekalam. That's it. If we are ready to take the Krishna anxiety, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, wherever you want to go, wherever you can get the Krishna anxiety, go and purchase. If you can get service for Krishna, just take it up and do it. So that is the instruction. So let us pray to Srila Prabhupada so that we can continue in our devotional service, we can make progress, we can attract more people, and we can go collectively as a society. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes. Okay.
So, Bruce asking two questions. Question number one, you spoke about how intense Srila Prabhupada's routine was and how he expected his disciples to work equally hard. Now, keeping in mind that then the purpose was to establish a society, but now we have a lot to maintain and we might not grow in the same exponential way. So what are the measurements for us to see if we are working at the level of Prabhupada's expectations?
Okay, the question is, Prabhupada
pushed himself and he equally pushed others. And that's how the society expanded during World War times and after. And now we have two tasks. One is maintenance and preaching, expanding. So how can we do that efficiently to please Srila Prabhupada? So here, there is no answer to this question. There is no formula. Okay, we have to take this answer and we can do it. Both are important. Both maintenance and expansion, both are important. And that's why we have to tax our brains. The answer is tax our brains. It is all of our responsibility. We need to think. We need to understand both are important. One cannot just take over and other not done properly. It's not possible. So we have to tax our brains how we can do it. So there is no answer. One answer to this. Point is, both have to be emphasized and we need to think how it is possible. Pray to Krishna. Try. Be ready for failures. First try. Be ready for failures. In our given circumstances, try different things. That's it. Then we see how sincere we are, what Srila Prabhupada wants, Krishna wants. We can see Krishna will reciprocate. There is no doubt about it. So the answer is, try within our limited capacity. But keep trying. Let there be failures, no problem, keep trying. That is the beginning of the class. Prabhupada kept trying in India in so many different ways, just in India. Let's try. Giving ad in newspapers. Couple of times that you are having very little money. So let's try. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes,
please. We have one more question. So Srila Prabhupada's sadhana was so deep. How can we go so deep in our sadhana?
Okay. Prabhupada's sadhana was deep, of course. A pure devotee with Krishna all the time. Just like he told the subway conductor when he didn't have any home, he just went out, was in the park in the freezing cold. One thing he said, he was seeing the cloth and the situation of Prabhupada, the subway conductor told, I'm a subway conductor, introducing, I'm a subway conductor, who are you, like that. And Prabhupada said, I have temples, I have money, I have books, only time is separating. Then the subway conductor asked, are you alone in the city? What did Prabhupada say? He pulled out the beads and said, no, I am never alone. Can you see? He is always the holy name, which means always Krishna, and he is experiencing as the reality. So this is Prabhupada's level of sadhana. We need to understand, he's just chanting. It is with Krishna. Now, that is the perfection. For us, still we can be sincere to our sadhana. We can try our best to hear the holy name. That's essential when it comes to our personal chanting. Knowing about Krishna and chanting his names and hearing his names. That's the sadhana. That's how we develop. So that's why we have morning program, we have Mangalarati, we have chanting time. So this is the sadhana. This is the sadhana program. Make sense? Yeah. We had to go through the sadhana program before becoming a Siddha. We will not be able to chant on the Siddha level now. First is sadhana. Practice. Day in and day out. Prabhupada said, I practiced. He said, I practiced in another occasion. He said, this is that, but he said, I practiced. For fear of chanting, I practiced, he said. I practiced, yes. Okay, any other question or any comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Vyas Puja Mahamahotsav ki Jai. Jai.